You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Dave Pullen in here. Michael Lombardi, our football analyst and football insider, in just a few moments.
You were going to say our TSN insider.
Yeah, I was.
Struggling.
I am Joe Namath. And
moron. Give him the moron.
You're usually spectacular on Fridays.
Flawless. Flawless yeah. All the time. Never.
Flawless Fridays.
I'll tell you what, I don't know what's wrong with me today. I'm just completely out of sorts.
You're a moron.
Yeah. You and Pooley are Susie Colbert, and I am Joe Namath.
Struggling.
And yeah. I'm just trying to get through an interview without throwing away my career. Anyway, Michael Lombardi, your NFL insider, in a few minutes. The worst of, fittingly, the worst of coming up a little bit later in the hour. I guess McDavid speaking with the media down in St. Louis, and people really asking him more about his injury and the process and whether or not he legitimately thought he could end up missing a full season. Like, that was a real bombshell that came out of nowhere.
Well, it's such an interesting question, because once you start putting parts into your body, like they were talking about putting screws in and shaving bones, and would he have been exactly the same?
I guess not. I mean, literally not the same.
You're not the same, but would you have been, like, from a genetic standpoint, he has gifts. Are you changing those gifts when you're putting things in the body and taking things out versus letting it heal naturally?
Mm-hmm. Well, he went for it. Like, again, it sure sounds like
big
he took a gamble.
Big risk.
A big gamble both ways. Because he decided, okay, I'm going to avoid the surgery. I'm going to go with very extensive rehab. And I'm going to hope I can make it back on time. But furthermore, I'm going to hope I don't have some massive setback. Like, could you imagine if he decided, I'm going to rehab. He shows up at camp, gets on the ice, blows it out again. Or, you know, basically re-aggravates everything. And then he's got to have the surgery.
And then it's 2 years.
Then it's into the next year you're talking about.
Yeah, that's career-defining stuff.
Yeah. You end up missing like a year and a half.
Part of the equation clearly is you're 23 years old. You know, if you were 29 or 30, you'd be saying, cut it, let's get it going and get back. But at 23, do you want to physically change the makeup of your body? And they made a decision not to.
Well, you got to just be, you got to have self-awareness. You got to have confidence in your work ethic. Like, that's another thing. How many guys would get halfway through the rehab and say, I can't do this anymore? Like, it sounds like he was in the pool, like, every day. He was working away at it, like, diligently grinding. And not only did he make it, he's better than ever.
He might be faster.
He's better than ever. Like, there's no reason to believe he's any worse today than he was a year ago. And he put forth a rehab, like, basically uncharted territory. We've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and who's ever involved, don't you think they're just going to be printing money? Some football guy is going to be like, well, let's get the opinion of those two that fixed that hockey player.
But that being said,
that's a possibility.
Think
of
all the ingredients you just talked about that went into it. Think of a player committing the time to do it, being at the stage of his career, you know, he's only or the stage of his contract where he's totally secure.
Right.
I mean, you know, what if he had 1 year left in his contract?
That's a good question. What would he do? Because here's the thing, though. At his status, he would get the Kevin Durant. Even if he missed the full year, he'd be like, if I want 20% of your cap, I'm getting it. He'd get whatever he wanted regardless because of what he had already established before the injury.
I'd say a big part of this is sports science and where it's at today and even how that would be an option. Because 5 years ago, that probably wouldn't have even been a discussion.
Well, he was just asked about it, Connor McDavid down in St. Louis. Here's what he had to say about, you know, the idea that he could have ended up missing a full season in his prime if he went through with the surgery last summer.
22-year-old kid at the time, and you never want to miss a season, and you never want to go through a surgery that I'm not going to call it risky or anything like that. But you know, there's lots of questions. It's not like it's an ACL where you know doctors can do that, you know, almost in their sleep. You know, it's a PCL, and that's a surgery that only a few people can do, and it's not been real mastered. So. There's definitely a time where it was a question for sure.
That's kind of scary what he just said there. The fact that there's a surgery that has not been mastered. That's like a Grey's Anatomy episode. You know, like we can do something, but there's a real chance
Yeah. You want to bring in your guy to host Overdrive? He's done it, but he's never been good before.
Right.
Yeah, give it a shot.
I think we can get it done for you, but there's a chance we botch it badly.
One of my buddies I played a lot of golf with at Notre Dame was an orthopedic surgeon. I said, you know, you guys come out of surgery and you're like, well, everything went really, really well. And I said, just once, you know, you'd like to hear, yeah, the timing was off, man. I have a bad day in there. And he goes, yeah. Well, the difference is you've got 60 minutes to play a game. I've got as long as I want to do that surgery. I'm not walking out of there until it's perfect.
Yeah, the operating room, scary, man. Like, there can, like, you know, there's stuff going on in there.
Oh.
It's like, did they double back on that?
Oh,
because
talk to
people
it,
that wake
doc.
Up and it's the wrong leg. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's when the lawsuit is just getting
every
fired
surgery I've
up.
Ever had, the final question I ever had before you're out is, it's this one right here, right? I'm like, yep, that one.
While you're
and
drugged, you're answering
big, yeah,
that.
Yeah, draw a big X.
Yeah, that is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, it's this one, right?
It is the right one, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. It happens with dentists a lot. Wrong tooth. All the time. I won't say all the time, but like you operate on the wrong side of the mouth or something. And
someone's speaking from knowledge here.
No, not either, not firsthand or secondhand.
Stories.
Watch yourself over there, Pooley. Here's our NFL insider, longtime NFL executive, writer with The Athletic, and host of the GM Shuffle podcast, Michael Lombardi. What's up, Michael?
Not much, guys. How we doing? Everything good up there?
Yeah, man. We're gearing up for the Super Bowl. I love it. What do you think of this matchup, Niners-Chiefs?
You know, I don't think it, you know, it's clearly the two best teams in it stay true to, you know, the one of the stats I think that's the most important in football is first half point differential. How many points you score in the first half, how many you allow. And these are the two teams that were finished second and third in that category. And it's always the case. The teams in the top five always make it to the Super Bowl. And I think these are the two best teams in the NFL. The way they play down the stretch, they're going to be a great game.
What do you think about yesterday? We were talking about a lot of the executives around the league thinks that Kansas City is going to blow them out. Where do you stand on those statements?
I don't think anybody's going to blow San Francisco. I don't know where you get that from. I mean, Kansas City struggled to blow out Tennessee. That was a fight, right? So, you know, Kansas City maybe blew out Houston late. But, I mean, this defense for San Francisco is fast, is explosive. They have the elements to give Patrick Mahomes trouble. What's got to happen for Mahomes is the pressure's got to come from the front. You're not going to cover long enough to be able to handle him. You've got to put pressure on him, force the ball out of his hand quicker than he wants.
Yeah, it's one of those scenarios where I understand where the line is. It's close. It's close to a pick 'em. I think at this point the Niners are getting like 2 points. And
I think it's a point here in the States.
Okay,
I mean, it's not moved. And money has come in on both sides, which has been fascinating. I think right now it's 52% of the money's coming in on Kansas City, and the ticket range is about 58% tickets on Kansas City. So the money and the tickets are fairly even.
Well, and that's probably where it should be, with two, I think, very equal teams, even-keeled teams, well-coached teams. It probably depends on who you are more focused on. Like, if you're an NFC guy and you were focused on the Niners, they blew the doors off Minnie and Green Bay. How can you bet against that?
Yeah, I mean, look, they rolled through it. I mean, Minnesota was a good team. They went into New Orleans and soundly defeated them, and they made chump change out of Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay should be embarrassed for the whole season. I know they won 14 games. We never really thought they were a 14-win team. But think about this. They, in that game last week, the Packers played them in week 12 of the season. They were 1-for-15 on third down. You would think they would improve, right? No, of course not. They come out in the first half, they're 0-for-4 on third down. So they're 1-for-19 in six quarters against the 49er defense. That ain't good enough.
With Michael Lombardi, your NFL insider, Eli Manning officially announcing his retirement today. Is there anything interesting about Eli? Tell what interests you about Eli Manning?
You know, the thing that's fascinating to me is how much publicity. I mean, the last 5 years, nobody realizes this. The New York Football Giants ranked 31st in the NFL in wins. The only team that they're ahead of are the Cleveland Browns. And Eli's been the quarterback there. So of his 16 years, the last five of his career, he's been one of the losingest franchises in the NFL. It's remarkable that we've got this much into it.
We were talking earlier. Do you think he sniffed around because he said, I'm only a Giant, that's it? Do you think he sniffed around to see if there was any want for his availability or any kind of team that wanted his services? And then he said, you know what, there isn't, and then I'm going to pack it in?
Yeah, I think so. I think that he knew that it was time, and, you know, it's the right thing for him to do. He should have done it 3 years ago, even though Dave Gettleman, when he became the general manager, said that Eli's got 5 more years left. I wasn't sure what tape he was watching.
Well, we segued into a Brady conversation with that being considered, and clearly Brady, obviously a greater player than Eli, a greater past 5 years, a better player today than Eli is today. But there is this belief, or there seems to be, that Tom Brady can call up any team in the league, short of the obvious ones. He's not calling up Kansas City or Baltimore or Green Bay, and just say, I want to play on your team, so I'm going to start playing on your team. I'm not convinced that's the case, Michael. I'm not convinced every team in the league would just open their door for Brady. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I definitely agree with you. I think there's, as great as Tom is, and, you know, he's easily the best quarterback, he is the GOAT. But the reality of it is he is 42 years old. And Father Time eventually will win. And when Father Time wins, what do? You know, and when he calls you up, if he was 34 and he made that phone call, you do everything.
Right.
But now you just don't know when the end is coming, and you could be left without a care rather quickly. So I agree completely with you.
Well, how much pressure does it put on the GM? Like, let's say he goes to the Chargers or the Raiders, and those, like, the Chargers, I think, are prepared to win. They feel like they can. The Raiders, though, are still kind. They're rebuilding. They're loading up on picks. He goes to the Raiders, you don't have a year or two to figure it out. You got to win right away.
No, I mean, he's got to win. I mean, the Raiders have to convince him that their defense will be good enough to win next year. Because if he goes there, he'll make the offense better. He's got to be convinced their defense is good enough, and I'm not sure he can do that.
Well, we'll see. What are you expecting in terms of the money on the line of the Super Bowl between now and next Friday when we talk? Do you think there will be a fair amount of movement?
I think there'll be a little bit of push. I could see this just becoming an even game. I think most people, when it gets down here, they just play the money line anyway. So I think the money line will still be healthy. But I think the money's going to move on both sides, because I think this is two evenly matched teams. I think it's going to come down to, you know, which team makes the mistake, which field goal kicker misses a field goal, which is really a turnover. I think it's going to be that kind of close game. I don't see a blowout whatsoever.
Yeah, that's the way I like it, too. If you get to a Super Bowl, it's a neutral site, a pick'em. I mean, that's ideal, I think, for the NFL. And I mean, at this point, the Friday before the Super Bowl, what are teams doing? What is Andy Reid doing? What's Kyle Shanahan doing? What are they doing 7, 8, 9 days out?
This week is like a regular week. This is when they do all their work. To Friday night, they're putting in the third yard. They had a practice today. They're doing everything. They're going to practice again tomorrow. They're doing everything they can. When they get to Miami, all they're doing is refining. They're not doing anything else.
Michael, just talk about John Lynch a little bit and the impact he's had on that organization in a relatively short period of time.
Well, John's a wonderful guy, but Kyle Shanahan runs everything there. John came in with no experience, and Kyle kind of gave him the title. Kyle's in charge of the complete organization. There's not one decision being made out there that Kyle's not making. I think John's done a really good job of being in the situation. But every deal that's come through, Kyle signs off on yes or no, including draft picks and everybody. So it's been the perfect situation. I give Jed York a ton of credit, because Jed York gave the keys to the kingdom to Kyle, and it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's worked out for sure, and he's looking for redemption next Sunday. 28-3 is hanging over him, and we'll see where it goes. We'll catch up next Friday, tee up the game a little bit more.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider.
To get that straight, the head coach, he just said the head coach is just...
Tells the general manager what's going to happen.
That's basically the NFL. That's Belichick. That's, you know, that's the way it goes. The NFL, it's all the coach that runs things. Like, I didn't know it was to that extent. I'm not going to pretend like I knew Shanahan was signing off on everything.
Wow.
That's just his opinion.
Right, but he's pretty connected. But you're right. I mean, John Lynch is a guy getting a ton of love. I think he should. You know, like, Lynch is the guy.
Because the defense plays like he played.
Yep.
I mean, that was his.
Mean and tough.
Exactly.
And fast and, yeah.
You playing Tampa?
Yeah, he was on that
Super Bowl team
in 03. Absolutely. He was in Denver for a while, I think. And
he'd have played for Mike Shanahan.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Like, he's... And the thing is, like, Lombardi says Lynch had no experience. Shanahan had no experience either. Like, he was just a coordinator. It's not like he's run a team or run an operation.
Right.
I would say they both synced in pretty well. My guess would be why that works so well is because of what you just said. Shanahan, everything on the offensive side of the ball would clearly go through Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
But I would guess on the defensive side, it's probably John Lynch saying, let's sign Richard Sherman. He's still got something left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Bosa was always going two, but we're taking Bosa. Even though we're loaded up front on that defensive line, we're going to take him because he's a machine. That's probably the perfect working relationship. Like the NFL and football, there's a 53-man roster. Like, it's so complex. It's a totally different sport, offense to defense. There's no flow. So if you can have...
Well, there are guys that don't see each other through the entire week.
Absolutely.
I mean, players that just don't, you know... I used to play golf with some of the Eagles coaches, and we would talk about this all the time, about how tight our teams were. You say, you know, we don't even see each other. And offense and defense, and you go positionally, then
right.
You get all the different breakups and makeups of those groups. And
well, when Luke Kuechly retired a couple of weeks ago and he sent out that video, what he said was, I'm really going to miss this room. And he was in the linebacker room.
Right.
He wasn't in the locker room.
Yeah, that's like five guys.
Yeah, he's like, there's about 5-7 of us in here, and we're in here all the time. And there's a running back room, a quarterback room, defensive back room, offensive line. Like, they all have their own spot and their own coach and their own tape, and it's like a big puzzle. And, like, putting together a game plan, you're like, all right, this unit, you're doing this.
All
this
you're one, doing you're is doing focusing that. On your job, your role within the side of the.
That's right. And if you all come together and you got talent, you're probably going to win. But then the beauty of sport, the beauty of the NFL is all of a sudden the ball gets kicked off and
hell breaks
loose. There's a fumble and it's like, what do we got? Who's going to go get it? You know, it starts snowing or it's windy or whatever.
That's when the guy in the special teams room gets yelled at saying, what the hell are you doing? Because that's what we told you.
Where's that special teams room?
Yeah. No one takes a beating more than a special teams coach. Always. Like you never see the coach yell or scream at a coordinator. Now, a lot of times they might be up top, but... Like Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, I haven't watched every game, but I don't see Shanahan yelling at him very much. But if that special teams, if someone takes an unnecessary roughness
him.
Or something, you are going to destroy him. Like, he is the whipping boy.
And he's usually the emotional guy on the sidelines, too.
He's freaking out.
Leading the stretch. He's banging into people.
Right.
He's screaming at people.
Because a lot of it is just go hit that guy. Like, it's not overly complex. We're going to kick the ball in the air and just go try to hit that guy. Break through a tackle and hit them. If you can't do that, someone's got to pay a price for it. Anyway, the worst of. We've been promoting this for a couple of weeks in horrible fashion because we've had no idea when it's actually going to happen.
Well, which fits the worst of.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's perfect. The Grapplers put a lot of work into it. Megan, Normie, everyone behind the scenes.
But we might have to evaluate their production on the worst of, too.
I think that you might be onto something.
Take a hard look at that.
Okay, so we're going to break it up into three different periods. The first period coming up. Pulley, you going to stick around
for
this?
Yeah, I'm going to hang around for a bit.
All right, buddy. So we're looking forward to it. I know we've been teasing it for a while. We've got it done. We're going to play it.
I have to see it now.
You got to see it. You got to hear it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so this is very exciting stuff. We've been doing this show for a long time. And I would say about 90% of the time we put on a decent show. I'm not going to pump our tires, but it's okay. You know, it's James Reimer in Detroit in 2015. It's okay, just okay.
We try to do our jobs.
We try to do the best we can to have fun.
2014.
There you go. See, I don't even know
it was
the date.
Personal.
Were you in the building for that game?
Yes.
You were in Detroit?
Yes.
3-2 loss. I remember
it was
that.
Okay.
Okay, just okay. So 90% of the time, you know, I think we bring it. The other 10%, you really never know what you're going to get.
Struggling.
Sometimes it can be Joe Namath, halftime, Susie Colbert.
Struggling.
So, as a result, we were talking about this leading into the new year. When we first came back in early January, everyone's doing their best of this time of year. We should put together a worst of, right? Like, just to buck the trend here.
Maybe because the other option wasn't an option for us?
That probably was a part of the issue as well. They're like, there's only so much material here for a best of.
We have one clip. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah. Like, it was a really good take from 4 years ago, but I don't think it's going to work. So, in typical Overdrive fashion, we've been talking about this and never following through on it. Well, the Grappler went to work. He got into his bunker, and he went after it. And then Megan was heavily involved. I think Normie was involved, right? Like our friends on TV and Mullen, and I'm sure Al's brother factored in one way or another. So anyway, we're going to break this up into three because if we played it all in one,
it'd be
overwhelming. It'd be overwhelmingly awful. All right? So here it is. The first period, the worst of the history of Overdrive.
When Hyman comes off the IR, which should be happy. You got us, Mike? Hello?
Hello. We can hear you. Okay, I don't know. Sure, you got us? That. Okay. When Hyman comes off the IR, you guys are going to be dealing with a lot of...
Hello?
Yeah, okay. Put him on hold there, Graps, and we'll see if we can get him back.
Gave us the Brucey.
We got our Bruce Boudreau here from Mike Babcock.
That's awesome.
That was about five hellos, too.
We did what we had to do to win. Hello?
We got you, Bruce. So the point I'm making is, like, you know, we talked about
52
this.
52 states, by the way.
No, there's...
What
many?
Did you just say?
Yeah, hold on a second.
I think there's 52.
Yeah.
I thought you had a health problem or something, because listen to this.
Bill Belichick will have the team better. He'll have a much better by December.
Yeah.
That was me.
We have Michael Lombardi, yeah. Our NFL insider. I interviewed Megan Fox at one point.
What? I do remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it was a spectacular interview. We had chemistry immediately.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious. Brian Austin Green was listening on the line. He was furious. He's thought he was going to jump in like a PR department. Steph is emailing in claiming that Megan Fox hung up on me. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it sounds
she
about
did.
Right.
I heard it live. I swear to God. I swear to God, she hung up on you.
You're a liar, dude. Thanks so much for taking some time for us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan. Do you know Al's brother, Johnny?
This is Al's brother.
Al's brother. All right.
We needed a fill-in, so Al's brother.
I like it.
How does he sign off? Isn't he scared, like, a lot and saying, I... You didn't like that delay?
You were just looking for the right word, because you were probably going to say scared you know what less.
You just malfunctioned on the air. Which we've all been well aware of for some time. All right. I don't know what's going on. You can't hear us? You still can't hear us?
Hello?
Yep. Okay. This is great. Are you recording this, Mullen? Because these are drops for the rest of time. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do here if he can't hear us.
Hello.
We got you, Bruce.
That's like a 5-second pause.
It was four. We went to the game tape. I'm not into the opera, but I understand like Pavarotti had a pretty good thing going.
Oh, so you like Pavarotti?
No, I didn't say I like him, but I appreciate his talent.
No, you don't. You don't give a rat's ass about Pavarotti's.
Give me a couple of tunes from that guy.
I could name one.
So you don't appreciate Pavarotti's. You don't even care. That's
Pavarotti's.
What
it's not a car.
I'm just going after the comments from Dubas saying it was priority one, and it's still not done.
Oh, I'm in the car. He's valeting, so that's just me.
Wait a minute. You're the valet guy?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, the guy just drove by in my car, and it switched to the valet, sorry. Switched to the car.
That's my favorite quote ever.
He's like, I think Marner will sign.
How great would that have been? He's like, this is my moment.
Yeah, but you're on the radio in Toronto. How much would you pay him? Oh, he says give him lots.
Oh, lots of money.
If you trained hard enough, you could complete a marathon in under 4 hours.
No. Me? Zero chance. I'm denying it.
I'm denying it, too. I hate running more than anything on earth. I hate.
26 miles?
Yeah.
I could do it.
No, you couldn't.
No, you couldn't. No, I'm denying for you. I saw you 10K in an hour and a half. An hour and a half to do 10K. That's the first period.
That's sad that there's more, like.
Fully entertaining.
There's that two should be more 7 years of a person's program or our program.
There's one clip from the old studio, the old Brucey Boudreau hello.
Yeah.
All of it.
Because you had to keep it.
We had to.
There was one clip where your head was in a hat and it looked like a pumpkin, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's when your brain malfunctioned on the air.
Yeah. Your head was the size of mine.
I did have I do have a big head, but that was a massive head with that hat. I used to wear the hat a lot on TV.
Yeah.
And
you
now
changed.
I have changed a lot. Can you believe that's the
first period?
Scary
that there's more.
Dude, that's the first period. We played 20 minutes.
I'm staying for the second period.
You want to hear the second period?
I don't have
period?
To work till 7 o'clock.
Okay, so here comes the second period. If you're just tuning in, if you're watching on TSN2 or listening on the radio, this is the worst of. We came up with this. Well, we were supposed to start 2020 with it. We're almost into February, and we decided, all right, we'll finally get this thing going. Everyone else around this time of year is playing the best of. We don't have enough material for the best of. We only have the worst of. That was the
Although
first
we added
period.
Some today.
Go back and listen to the first hour of the podcast. We added about 40 minutes. Quadruple overtime is what we supplied.
Thruple.
Here is the second period of the worst of Overdrive. It sounded like Joe Pesci chased you into the desert the night before, and you slept out there.
Does this sound like a man who's dealing with smoke inhalation?
Yes.
Or a late night?
Well, I don't want to say it was a bit of a fog as far as the Ottawa Senators putting up a defensive type of game and effort. As we see right now, there's a ton of fog in front of me.
It's such a great video. It's up on our Instagram account, up on our Twitter account. Do we have Mike Babcock back? This isn't some ploy, so you don't have to be on with us, Mike, is it? Or?
Hello.
Okay. I got to believe they're trolling us now.
No. This is the greatest drops of all time.
This is a radio and TV show, the head coach of the Maple Leafs, and we cannot get a connection with this guy.
Guys like Brian Rafalski, even Scott Niedermeyer, dude. Zach Parise. Did I say Rafalski?
Yeah, they left.
Yeah, yes. Three names ago.
When he was in Jersey, guys like Brian Rafalski, even Scott Niedermeyer, dude. Zach Parise. Did I say Rafalski?
Yeah, they left.
Everyone knows who's stepping up to the ball. This guy historically, you know, just lights out from the penalty shot spot. And, you know, you get a big stop. You guys end up tying the game like a minute or two later.
Somebody at that event went in the men's bathroom and they should have put police tape around the door. They doubled down.
Both ends, you're saying?
There was a moose, and then the other end happened.
There was a throw-up involved.
So they took a moose,
and that
and
would
then
have been the worst bowl grabbing of all time.
Someone ratted him out.
Never know. Yeah.
Let me hear that again. Never know.
Someone ratted him out.
Never know.
Yeah. That's a long way in the rear view, that 04 championship in Detroit. So it's ugly. It's ugly down there. But
I do. You know what? I've talked to some people, and there's a plan that they can enact. Georgia Tech hammered them at North Carolina. I mean, just embarrassed them. And Georgia Tech is not very good.
So where does Detroit come into play on that?
Where does who?
The Pistons. I thought they had some big plan. Are we going to try this one more time? We are we're going out on a limb here. Can you hear us, Mike?
I can hear you.
This is
What are we talking about now?
Well, we're way off track now. We've been just rambling for about 5 minutes to get you back on the phone.
Kasperi Kapanen will stay on the Tavares line until Zach Hyman returns from injury.
I'll go 65.
Any more to add?
Gave you my percentage. I got to circle back on one thing. There was one percentage. I had a brain cramp, and I don't recall what the percentage was about.
Okay.
And I bluffed it.
You had me fooled, which probably speaks
to you. You tried to sewer me, too. Anything else to add there? I'm like, nope. Yeah. All good. Next.
I was like 71% or something.
Yeah, I said 90%.
I'm going to go 95.
Okay. I can't pick it up anymore.
Perception skills.
You know, like you've mastered.
You've mastered the baby
blank stare. Best appy going?
Don't even ever ask me anything about an appy, because me and my cousin the Deuce did it on Saturday. Triscuits cheddar cheese with a pickle on top. It's the best appy. It cleaned out the whole room. Everybody had one and they were gone. We had to refill the thing. That's what do you mean it's disgusting?
It's prison food. I've told you that. There you go. Two periods. All right. So we'll
What's
come back.
Sad is like that's a lot of recency up there. Like we're talking the third period is last week.
Right. Yeah. These are all basically clips from the past year. There's some old studio stuff in there.
So and we're sure there's no today.
As far as I know, they have not made an adjustment
period.
On the fly. Yeah. So we're going to come back and play the third. You got to run, Pooley.
Yeah, I got to jump, guys.
You're going to find the third period online, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all going to be up.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us, buddy.
See you, Pooley.
Sorry for subjecting you to this garbage.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah. Always great scene. And there's our buddy Dave Pooley. We'll come back with the third period, the worst of overdrive.
I find it embarrassing.
It's pretty bad.
We're supposed to be hardcore sports takes and like grit grinders, and we're idiots.
I'm telling you, there's stuff like the tape was longer too. They had to cut it down, like it was a lot longer. And they said we've got to make a couple of cuts here, so it could be a lot worse. It has been a lot worse. Anyway, the third period, worst of, next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline here in just a moment. For those of you just tuning in on TSN 2, on TSN Radio here in Toronto, up on the TSN app, we have been playing the worst of. And chances are we'll probably play this again next week when Noodles comes back. Like, we caught up with Noodles in the first hour. He's down in St. Louis covering the All-Star game, Big J Journalism down there. And he did say he was disappointed on two fronts. One, Best Portuguese Chicken did a massive drop-off today.
And we love them.
I am circling through. You just witnessed me go back through the buffet out there. And secondly, and more importantly, he's missing out on the worst of, which we've been talking about for a while. Because we started the new year saying, everyone's doing a best of, why don't we do a worst of? We got a ton of material. So, the Grappler got on it. Megan got on it. We've been through two periods of this. You're going to be able to find the full thing on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at TSN 1050. On Twitter, at TSN 1050, on Instagram. Third period coming up. Tie game, massive tie-breaking type period.
Got to bring your best.
Got to bring your best, or in this case, your worst. Here's the third and final installment of Overdrive's Worst Of. Oh, did you give one?
Yeah, 10%.
What's your problem?
It's just you acted like I was daydreaming and not playing the game.
Didn't remember if you said it or
not. Yeah, he misremembered.
It was a false... what was it? A wrong conclusion.
You had the wrong conclusion about my behavior on this show.
My bad.
This one you got to have. Who was the first Prime Minister of Canada?
Of Canada?
Prime Minister of Canada? You guys can't be serious.
Dude, I don't think I'm an idiot, but the first guy I can think of is Mulroney.
Wrong.
I don't even know anybody before that.
Oh, man.
I thought you were an idiot.
I award you
that.
No points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Now I think you should be in an institution.
I'm not even kidding you. Nice. This sounds stupid. I prefer SpaghettiOs in a can over gnocchi. And I don't care if your Nona makes it or how good this gnocchi is. SpaghettiOs is better. Like, I am not afraid to grab
ravioli.
Some Kraft dinner, some brown beans, and cut up a hot dog and mix it all together. Better than any Yorkville restaurant will ever go to in your life. Me and the overagent junior, we had Kraft dinner and brown beans for our pregame meal every game. I scored 126 points 2 years in a row
because
in the
you
O.
Were talented.
And what were you? A nobody and a nothing.
What did Gretzky say?
You miss 99% of the shots you don't take.
I think it was 100.
Actually, it was 100.
Somehow, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Somehow you make 1% of the shots you don't take. How many hours the average person will watch TV throughout their lifetime? How many hours?
50,000 hours.
50,000. Come on. More than that. A million hours.
A million hours.
I think you might need to go back in for a new set every 12 or 15 years. I think.
Dynamite drop in money and broadcast school has really paid off.
Like, why did you just look at your phone? We're in a conversation.
My wife just texted me.
I know, but we're on the air right now. TV, radio, matter. Web... We're talking about your teeth. I'm trying to help you out here. That highlight, which is what it was, of him manhandling those two Preds. I think that was in game two. Yeah. It was incredible.
The other night in Nashville, he grabbed two guys and started dummying them at the same time.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah. You didn't see that? He grabbed two guys. The ref was in the middle, and he started cocoa bonking.
That didn't happen, dude. Stop it.
And you know, we started this conversation with the Tom Wilson hit.
The other night in Nashville, he grabbed two guys and started dummying them at the same time.
Did he? Someone tweeting in saying, the constipator, because the crap stops here. You are the constipator.
I can't do it.
Imagine this guy running around Toronto as the constipator. The constipator. That one is in the clouds.
I haven't laughed hard in 20 years.
There you go. Third period action.
The sad thing is, There's four more years of material in there.
I'm not kidding you when I say this. That was our worst stuff. So if you're just tuning in on TV, radio, whatever, we're gonna blast it all out on Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff.
Keith, can you not confirm that? That's only like 2 years worth of stuff?
Oh, yeah, man. That's all Overdrive stuff. We've been on Overdrive for almost 4 years, I guess. But even that, I think it's only the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because like when we were in the lunch, there were brutal segments and moments.
Brutal.
Where we would just check out or I would chew my tongue off.
We would call random people at stores, and like, it was ridiculous.
There was some really awful material. Terrible. So that's the worst of. All right, so hopefully you enjoyed it. You can find it all online. It'll be everywhere. And I think we'll probably get back into it with Noodles in a week or two.
Oh, we're going to play that for him sometime, maybe midweek. We'll wait till Friday to fire that up, and we'll just play it all for him at one time so he can have a laugh.
Yeah.
But I was saying to the grappler, the way we operate, I think that could be a once-a-monther.
We maybe
last
could.
Last Friday of the month?
Yeah, if Mullen's willing to archive all that kind of stuff. Although
it's
the problem
is...
not
that hard. If something stupid happens, you archive it.
No, I know. But you put it in his hands. Like, then he's going to start manipulating the process. But I think we probably could do it every month.
Yeah, last Friday of every month.
Okay. Yeah, let's try to aim for that anyway. I mean, we're putting work on other people's plate. It's not our issue. But if people are willing to do it, like the grappler and Mullen and Megan and Normie and everyone's all in. Because you know, you're right, there's going to be material every month.
Every month.
At minimum, 3 or 4 minute clips of, like, really bad stuff.
Yeah. The first period of the next episode could be this whole show.
Yeah, more
or
less.
There you go.
Yeah, so anyway, thanks to the Grappler and Megan and Normie and everyone. That was awesome. And awful at the same time. Like, it made us look like complete buffoons, but we're kind of used to it by now, and... that's the worst of. Everyone's doing the best of. We'll do the worst of.
That's right.
And at the very least, we're going to do that annually, right? Like, once we get into December, for sure, we're definitely going to start labeling
that. Well, I'm pretty
sure
they're going to get together and say, I think it's best we do it annually.
Yeah, I think they might push for that, but we'll see. What do you think, Grappler? You think you could pull that off once a month or what?
I mean, we could definitely pull it off once a month. There's enough material, but I guess I just worry about it getting old if we do it month after month. If we do it, even if it's every half year or... you know, in quarters, something like that. But I just feel like once a month might be pushing it a little
bit. Well, we'll see. Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, we'll probably push definitely once a year, right? Definitely once a year. By the time we get to December, we will archive everything. And people can chime in. You know they're going to do that. And people are going to write in. I'm already seeing it. People are like, what about this clip? That was brutal. Why didn't that make the worst of? Like, I don't need to spend my weekend reading tweets.
Like, I didn't even hear a Lindy Ruff.
That's what someone's pointing out. Where's Lindy Ruff? Lindy Ruff may have been back in the day. I mean, maybe before the archives and stuff. I don't know.
No, that's exactly what it was. In the original cut, Lindy was in there. But once we decided to just go with video, the Lindy Ruff video, unfortunately, could not be tracked
right.
down.
So maybe we can send out, like, multiple versions of the worst of, right? Like, because you put together the original one that was kind of more made for audio and stuff like that. And it had Lindy Ruff. It had a lot of drops, like our famous drops, like really bad stuff. Here's Lindy. You're right there, Lindy.
He had a stogie that day.
Yeah, that was when he was in Dallas, and I think he was on a bit of a heater. Like, I think we were like, we should get Lindy Ruff on. They've won 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in his basement smoking a cigar the size of this table. He had a chokeout job that you rarely hear on radio.
That is correct.
Or see on TV. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA point spread tonight, I am on Memphis at Detroit. You're getting a point, I'll take it. Boston at Orlando, you're getting a point in that game, I'll take it. And I think the Raptors roll tonight in New York. I will lay the points even though it's on the road. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we got Raptors tonight in New York. You get the NHL All-Star Weekend, which, you know, I'll chime in a little bit. Not much is coming out of it. I just want to make sure Freddie Anderson gets out of it, you know, be healthy, be ready to play on Monday night because he's got to play 27.
It's sad, but I don't even watch it. I don't care to comment about it on Monday. All I care about is looking forward to the Leafs. Seeing what they're going to do. I think we have that game on Monday.
We do, yep, on TV and radio.
That's all I'm gearing up for because that just doesn't interest me, which is sad.
How about Tiger Woods at Torrey Pines all weekend? What's your plan for that?
You know I'll bunker down on Sunday.
Well, I'm a little bit worried.
What he did on 18, by the way?
I'm trying to find out.
I don't know. We were listening to the best of or the worst of.
What? Let me try to find out here.
Because we had a small wager on whether he would birdie 18.
Al's brother? Let's go to Al's brother's bunker for a golf update. Pump the mic on there, Al's brother. What did Tiger Eldrick Woods shoot on 18 at Torrey Pines?
Tiger birdied the 18th hole.
So he doubled
20 bucks.
He doubled 17 and then he birdied 18. You know he's birdying that par 5, man. You know it.
It's one of those holes where he
feels it.
Yeah.
He chokes on one and he redeems himself on 18.
All day.
So he's at 4 under. The leader is Ryan Palmer at 10 under. He's 6 off the lead right now. And Snedeker's in the mix. You got JB Holmes up there, Jonathan Vegas. A couple of big names. Keegan Bradley's off to a good start. Your boy Patrick Reed playing pretty well at 6 under.
What about this bet? I'll bet you 20 bucks he finds himself in the way of the final group on Sunday.
All right, I'll double down on that. We'll square it off on Monday. Okay. I hope he does. I mean, I love it. Tigers playing, Torrey Pines. Let's do it, man. All right, as of Monday, we're back here teeing up a Leaf game. We're into Super Bowl week. A lot going on. All right, buddy. Good stuff. Good stuff on the worst stuff, too. Yeah. Grappler, Megan Normie, Mulls,
everybody Mullen, involved.
Find it online at Overdrive1050 on Twitter, at TSN1050 on Instagram. We're out of here. We're back Monday at
4 p.m. Join us.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Happy New Year from everyone at Scarborough Nissan. Safety first. Please remember, don't drink and drive. The Winter Warrior sales event is on now. Take advantage of lease and finance rates as low as 0% APR on select models OAC or up to $6,000 standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.